Okay, so we're going to try to do in the next couple of weeks two major sugyas that permeate all of Hilchos Shabbos rather than a particular melacha. One is the sugya of chola, and one is the sugya of amir. So I don't think we can do justice to either one of these two sugyas in the next 3 weeks, but we'll try to do the best as we can. So when we talk about chola, the first thing we have to do is define what type of a chola that we're talking about. And halacha differentiates in different kinds of chola. So the worst kind of chola, from a medical vantage point, but probably the best from a halachic vantage point, is what's called the cholish yesh bei sakona. So we know that once we've ascertained that a person meets the standards, the criteria for being a cholish yesh bei sakona, with this danger to his life, so then we know that pikuach nefesh basically takes over. And pikuach nefesh is true not only by Shabbos, it's true by kol tor kula, whether there are nuances of differences between kol tor kula and Shabbos is another loaded question, but we'll talk about it as we go along. But clearly there's a din of pikuach nefesh, the Gemara at the end of Masechet Yuma derives this from a whole series of different psukim. This is probably what falls under the category of the Rambam writes in his introduction to Bereishis Mishnayos. Whenever the Gemara gives you a 15 different psukim for the same din, so that sounds like it's a halacha that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's already in the Gemara. We already know the din is true, and all the psukim are coming just to show you that in the Tosh B'Chsav we can actually figure it out. So the Gemara has a whole array of different ways of deriving this din of pikuach nefesh, either from v'chai ben v'shom v'nesos haShabbos, half dozen other possibilities. But the mice, everybody agrees to the din. It's not a question. It's Bereishis Mishnah in many, many places that pikuach nefesh is going to be permissible. What exactly constitutes a chayla sheyesh bei sakona? So the Gemara is also clear that it does not have to be a vaday sakona. It doesn't even have to be a suffik ashokul of sakona. The Gemara says that, but pikuach nefesh enochen acharov. So if there's any degree of chance that there is a sakona here, that also constitutes a chayla sheyesh bei sakona, and therefore all the Yisurim deraisa, including Shabbos, with the exception of course of Yehor Payavars, all the other Yisurim deraisa would be compromissible. So it just has to be a latest asofik. What about if it's a very, 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 very far-fetched latest asofik? So that's what the Chassam Sefer writes in Mitzvah. That even pikuach nefesh yesh gvul b'dover, echa mini alef alfi alof mir ravavos. I don't know exactly where the number is, but you reach a certain point where it's already too far-fetched. It's not even oil aladas, not even the normal radar. That would be a concern, so that does not even constitute the latest asofik. So it's usually assumed that anything that in the world of today, in the world of medicine today, that we take even as a far-fetched chance, the doctors tell you, listen, the overwhelming odds are this person is going to be fine, but there's a 2% chance to have an heart attack and would be worthwhile to get up to the hospital. So then that constitutes already a latest asofik. Once you have already enough of a concern, the doctors would tell you on a weekday to go to the hospital, that's already considered to be enough of a latest asofik. Who makes that call? Who makes that determination whether it is even a latest asofik or not? So those are sugyas that appear in the end of Masechet Yuma. The Gemara there is talking about in the context of eating on Yom Kippur, but the same rules carry over to other areas of halacha, including the Chol Shabbos. So the Gemara gives a lot of credibility to the Bikiyim, to the Chacham, to the Rofim, to people who are doctors, people who understand this particular situation, people who are trained, professional, to understand what's going on. So the Gemara has dinim in the end of Masechet Yuma, the Imachim, Apia Mumchim, Apia Rofim, the doctor said that the person is a Safik Pikuach Nefesh, so then of course they would have to eat on Yom Kippur. But male, the doctor tells you that the person is a Safik Pikuach Nefesh, you would be required up your din to be Mechal Shabbos on their behalf. Does that mean that we're absolutely convinced that the doctors know what they're talking about? So that's a machlekes harishonim. It's a machlekes harishonim about, can, just because the Gemara says that we trust the Rofim and therefore we eat on Yom Kippur b'chol Shabbos, would we trust them l'kula as well? So what would that mean, l'kula? So that's more of a hilchos nida shayla than hilchos Shabbos shayla. So the Rishonim have a machlekes about, let's say, if a certain situation arises in hilchos nida, and the doctors tell you their opinion on the matter, and can you use that in order to be matir, innocent, based on what the doctors are telling you? So some Rishonim say yes. Some Rishonim quote this Gemara in the end of Yom and say, well, the doctors are believed to be Chol Shabbos. Why can't you believe the doctors Lagabe Hilchos Nida? So other Rishonim say, no. In Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, we're not going to be believing them 100%. All we have to do is create a latest asofik. In Hilchos Nida, we have to know for certainty that this woman is Muteris. So just because we trust the doctors to eat on Yom Kippur, we trust the doctors to be Mechal Shabbos, that just means that we trust that they maybe know what they're talking about. It doesn't mean that we know for certain that they know what they're talking about. So that's a far cry to say we could be Mata Nisar Chomer, Nisar Koris, Nisar Nida. based on certainty of the doctors. Maybe the doctors don't know what they're talking about. So that's the big machlokes rishon. Then there's a further question that the later posts talk about, this more chosdin and chosshabbos, is that maybe it depends on, what do you mean the doctors are telling us something? Is it telling us something philosophically? It means they think, it means they're listening to a description and think, oh, yeah, this is probably a pekuch nefesh, this is probably a chosdin, that's that, it's probably motor. Or they're actually seeing something. Are they looking the chush? Are they taking a look and they're seeing? I'm looking at an x-ray, I'm doing an internal exam, I'm looking at a CAT scan, I can see something with my own two eyes. So that's a whole different ballgame. So that's more of a general medical, hashara kind of a question that impacts more in Chosdin than in Chosshabbos. Because in Chosshabbos, you don't need any degree of certainty. All we need is a degree of latest suffix. Every once in a while, you have a situation where there are steers and the doctors. The one doctor says is life-threatening, the other doctor says it's not life-threatening. So what do you do? So those are sugyos also. The fairish in the end of Masech is human. Those are dinim b'farash from Shulchan Aruch. That roifei echadam mekach, roifei echadam mekach. So we have to treat that as a latest suffix. So as a latest suffix, no choice. So we have to be, machmir pekuch nefesh and make a lun Shabbos, make a lun Yom Kippur, make a whatever we make a lun, because we have no way of ascertaining which doctor is more correct over here. So we'll be there sveikalun after. So whenever there's any latest asafik, and again, the latest asafik doesn't have to be a tremendous high percentage, it's got to be realistic. It can't be echad, meaning alpha, liver, above us, one in a billion chance. That's a latest asafik. The Chassam Sofer's tshuva was in the context of, there was a decree in Germany and Hungary at different times in history that the government didn't want people to be buried until 3 days after they were supposedly dead. Because one in a billion cases, a guy woke up in his Leviathan, it wasn't too good, it didn't look too good. So the government wanted to make sure the person's dead. So they made a governmental decree that you're not allowed to bury anybody for 72 hours. So somebody wrote a kuntris to try to defend why the government decree was right. Apidin, the government decree was correct, because it's something pekuch nefesh. So therefore, you can't bury the person even though it's a mitzvah Torah kavodik forenu losan and losal eitz. You're not allowed to leave over meisim. But no, it's koach nefesh. It's a suffer koach nefesh, and therefore you have to listen to what the government said. So the Chassam Sofer was not at all impressed with that particular kuntris. Anyone know, by the way, who wrote that kuntris? Just a small trivia, Jewish history. It was written by Moses Mendelssohn. He wrote the kuntris. So the Chassam Sofer writes that he doesn't think the kuntris is right, although in the tshuva he doesn't say anything derogatory about the author of the kuntris, but he writes that he thinks that the kuntris is fundamentally flawed, and he says the reason why the kuntris is flawed is because that it's not even called a safek pikuach nefesh. That the fact that one person in the last 200 years got up after being declared dead, so that's elef echad, meaning a lot of people have died in the last 200 years, and no one else has been walking around that we know of. Maybe other people just don't know about them, but since I'm sorry, it's so unlikely that's going to happen, therefore it doesn't even enter into the category of Sofik Kruch Nefesh, and therefore you have to apply the regular Dini HaTorah, because it's cruel, or so, etc. How are you going to deal with the government? That's a government question. So that's a PR question. How are you going to finagle around this government decree? Or maybe we're going to stop because we have no choice. They're going to throw them to jail. Okay, that's a different story. What we're going to do with the government. But in terms of the Dini HaTorah, says Chassam Sofer, to misrepresent and say the Dini HaTorah is you have to wait 72 hours, they said that's ridiculous because that's not even a suffix. But again, once it enters into the category of being within the realm of reality, and modern medicine is choshesh, that one doctor will tell you that, yeah, this is a real concern. So that's already midei safek lanafka, and therefore pikuach nefesh would be deich shams. So the mice have already established that this fellow is a safek pikuach nefesh. It's a chalash yesh b'sakono. So we're going to be mechal shabbos for him. What's our attitude towards that chalash shabbos? Do we view this through the eyes of what's called the chuyu, through the eyes of chutzra? It's a very famous shayla that appears at the beginning of Maseches Yuma. In the context of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor, Tumah Duchuri B'tzibor. When you have a Korban Tzibor, so you bring the Korban even in the state of Tumah. So the Gemara is a Shaila, what's the Lumdus? Is the Lumdus that Tumah is Duchuri B'tzibor? Means basically it's an Isra of Tumah. It's Taka, the person's Tame, the Kain's Tame, it's Taka Tame. And there's really a violation of Tumah happening here. Well, lays bare, what are you going to do? That the Halacha says that the mitzvah of offering Korban Tzibor is more important than the Isra of Tumah. So we violate the Isra of Tumah. Do I say no? That the Makom Korban Tzibor, Tumah Hutra B'tzibor. The tomb is lifted. It's the command of lace. It's as if the dinim of tumah were never said under these circumstances. My nafkamina, the gemara says nafkamina is how much you have to try to avoid it. So let's say I have two kohanim in front of me, one's tummy, one's star. How much do we have to drag up to make sure not to violate the sister of tumah when it comes to korban tzibur? So if you hold tumah duchui b'tzibur, you got to turn the world a little bit upside down. Not totally, you have to turn the world a little bit upside down in order to avoid doing the issur. If you hold that tumah is chutzu b'tzibur, set the gun. What's the difference? You can do it the glatz, b'hadrin, nothing to worry about. So the Gemara has that shaila about the Chuyin Hutra, only Lagabe Tumah B'tzibur, and then the Gemara has a little bit later on in Yuma about Avaidus HaKabonis B'Shabbos, also Kabonis Tzibur, also Dech HaShabbos, where also touches on the issues of the Chuyin Hutra. The Rishonim go to town with that topic in other areas, Esei Dech HaLosesei, and Mila B'Shabbos, and half a dozen other places. Rev Yav clashes in Halacha, do we view it through the eyes of the Chuyin Hutra? So the Rishonim also discuss Pekuach Nefesh. So the Rosh at the end of Masechus Yuma raises this question also, how do you view Chil Shabbos? Do you say that I'm driving to the hospital on Shabbos, I have to get the patient to the hospital, I got to do the surgery, is it Dechuya? It's Shabbos, Gevalt, it's Chil Shabbos, huh? What do? You have to do it, but it's still called an act of Chil Shabbos, at least Breira. What do I say to him? That for a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, it's not Shabbos today, it's Tuesday today. I look at it like it's Tuesday, no difference whatsoever. So that's a loaded Machlekes in the Rishonim. And it could be the answer, maybe there's actually a difference possibly between Shabbos and other Yisurim. Because I'm sorry for as a tshuva, where he suggests that maybe Shabbos parts ways with other Yisurim in this manner. Because if you look carefully in the Gemara, the end of Masechus Yuma, as we mentioned, there are multiple Makairis for the fact that Pekuach Nefesh is Doich Yisurim. The two most famous ones, there are a lot of them, but the two most famous ones are V'chaibem and V'shamu B'nei Zolos HaShabbos, Chalel Shabbos Achas K'dei Shiyish V'Shabbos HaSharbein. So Chassam Sofer suggests that why is it that Shabbos has its own Makor? Kol Tarkul is only one Makor, V'chaibem, and Shabbos has an additional Makor. So Chassam Sofer suggests that V'chaibem is a very, very limited scope. V'chaibem just tells me that you can do it. It doesn't say it's mutter, it just says do it. If the Torah goes out of its way and says a second time do it, a second time, nochmal, do it, that's tantamount to saying, you don't have to feel bad. It's not even an Isser. It's not a Chil Shabbos altogether. It's Mamash Heter Gomer. So Chassam Sofer claims that eating treif and other kinds of Isurim that only have one Pasuk B'chaibem, so Taka, the Isser is B'mekayim Oimid. It's the Chuya, but you have to do it anyway. Only B'chil Shabbos you say that it's Hutra. That's what Chassam Sofer fits in very nicely with. There's a Maharami Rittenberg that the Rush quotes, a whole discussion about very famous Shalom the Rishonim. Let's say you have a Chodesh Yesh Pesachon on Shabbos, and the doctor says he has to eat meat. Prescribed must have meat right now. The problem is there's no kosher meat, there's no meat that's shechted. So what do? So do you feed him the Velus and Trefus, you feed him the Chazer, or do you go ahead and you shecht on Shabbos? So normally we have a rule, we try to minimize, we try to do the lesser of the two evils. So which is the lesser of the two evils over here? So the chora, the lesser of the two evils, is eating treif. Eating treif is only in Salav. Shechti on Shabbos is a belach derais, is a chayef skila. So I would have said that it's better to feed the guy treifus rather than to shecht on Shabbos. So the Rishonim say not that way. Why not that way? So different reasons are given. Some Rishonim say it's technical. If you feed him treif, he's going to get so meos, he's going to throw up. Give him kosher food or shecht on Shabbos, he won't know the difference. So some Rishonim say, it's just personal, preference questions. Other Rishonim have a razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah that Chil Shabbos, although it's more chomer, but it's only a one-time deal. One shechita and you're done. With eating treif, you chayav kol kezayis or kezayis. So maybe what you're lacking in terms of chumras ha'issa, you make up in terms of quantity. Maybe doing a small issa 20 times is worse than a big issa one time. That's a loaded question in halacha and machshava, but not for now. So in the middle of that whole sugya, so the Rush quotes of the Maamar Rittenberg, then there's a difference. That if you do Chil Shabbos is mutter for chayla. If you eat treif, that's not mutter for chayla. You do it anyway, but it's not mutter. What do the words mean? So it sounds like that chasam zayfer, that Chil Shabbos is even though it's more chomer, it has that added quality of being hutra, whereas eating treifa like other isurim is still begetting the dechuya. So it's better to do a hutra than to a dechuya. So that's a chiddush of some rishonim. Other rishonim say lahoyed v'amiyolim. It's the same shayla. Everything's dechuya, everything's hutra, etc. So my nefkim min ladin. At the end of the day, you're going to do it anyway. At the end of the day, I'm not going to klap al chay. I don't have to feel bad about what I did. It's mutter anyway, lamaisa. Whether you call it dechuya, call it hutra, at the end of the day, it's going to be all right. So lechora, the answer is that. How much do I have to circumvent? How much do I have to feel my way around it and kind of, circle and try to avoid it at all costs? So the Gemara says in Yuma, if avoda bituma is hutra, then you don't have to avoid it. Just do it and finish. Come on, don't ask any questions. If it's dechuya, you got to start searching around, look for another coin. Is it easy to avoid, etc. So that seems to be at least part of the story, not necessarily, but that seems to be part of the story that the Rishonim raise a question. When we're Mechal Shabbos for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakon, so we've already ascertained he's a Chayla, we already know he's a Chayla, Dr. Kapasi is a Chayla, so we're going to the hospital. So how do we do that exactly? Do we have to circumvent it? Do we have to try to bend over backwards not to do it? Do we have to do it in a way that wouldn't be necessarily an Issa Gomim in a Torah? How much do we have to navigate? And how much do we have a right to say? It's mutter, it's finished, come on and stop driving everybody crazy. Just do it normally and finish. So there was a big machlekes in Rishonim about if I have a malacha that I'm going to do, and it's going to, we're going to sanction doing the malacha, because the maaser, the doctor said that the person doesn't have to be for sure needs it, maybe needs it, so it's a safek b'ruach nefesh. So I'm going to do it anyway. Should I do a keliach hayad or not? Assuming that's a feasible option. Not everything is feasible to do keliach hayad. Let's say, for example, the surgeon's about to do open heart surgery, so we don't want him to ask the shalom. I can do it. I'll do a keliach hayad. You know, certain things, if you do keliach hayad, it's going to make things more dangerous. So assuming that it's feasible to do keliach hayad, is that an option? Is that a path we have to go down or not? So that's a big machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Where did the machlokes start? It started with the Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos. But the Gemara speaks about a yeledis on Shabbos. A woman who's in labor, so we assume a woman's in labor, so she's a chodesh yesh b'sakana. How do you know she's in labor? At what point do we say she's in labor? She's having contractions and in 6 months she's in labor? No, so the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you mean mishar exactly at what point she's considered to be in labor? The later post can point out that you have to be very, very careful because some people, they read better books. So they say, oh, well, it says in Shulchan Aruch that until you reach this stage in the labor, she's not really a chashish for sakana. So they won't drive to the hospital, won't go to the hospital until she reaches that point. So now the Gemara was talking about giving birth at home. So the Gemara wasn't cheshbining in, wasn't reckoning in the amount of time to get to the hospital. So the Gemara says she's giving birth at home anyway. No one meant no hospitals, no labor and delivery awards in the days of Chazal. So the question is, at what point can I cook the water? At what point can I carry the thing? At what point can I go run to get a knife? Whatever different things that I think I may need. At what point can I do them? So the Gemara says, don't do them so early when she reaches the stage, because a lot of women have early labor, forced labor. It's not real. So you have all the time in the world anyway. So just wait until you know for a fact that she's already a chodesh yesh b'sakana. If you're going to wait to that point that she reaches all those shiurim of Chazal, you're going to have a real sakana problem. You're going to have a baby delivered on your front porch, like ma'isim have occurred. Ma'isim b'chalyon. People don't make it to the hospital on time. So giving birth on your front, giving birth on the FDR, giving birth on the George Washington Bridge is a chodesh yesh b'sakana. It's a double chodesh yesh b'sakana. Chodesh yesh b'sakana for the mother and for the baby, because of Khalil, even though you all hear all the nice stories. I remember I was once talking to an OBGYN. He was telling me, oh, you guys all know the funny, the nice, cute stories. Yeah, I gave birth on the front, but yeah, I gave birth in the backyard. Yeah, I gave birth in the car. Yeah, my husband delivered the baby on the bridge. Yeah. Those were all the cute stories. He says, I hear all the tragedies, the people who thought they're going to give birth, and then Khalil and the baby couldn't breathe, and then they couldn't get anywhere near that, no one in the hospital to save the baby. Nebuch, the woman's hemorrhaging, and they're stuck in traffic on the George Washington Bridge. Those stories you don't hear. So giving birth today out of a hospital setting is the mamash b'ruch nefesh gomor. Pain for the mother, pain for the baby. Doesn't mean all the time. Ruba the woman will give birth just fine. It'll be just fine, even without hospital. But for that one person who won't, so that's the pikuach nefesh. I, for many, many years, they gave birth in home. Yeah, that was in the old days. That they didn't have the option. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't have waste. They had nothing to do anyway. They couldn't help the person anyway. But b'zman hazeh, baruch Hashem, ach shadara, so we have the ability to save people in difficulties. And it's not for nothing that until fairly recently in civilization, the rates of women who died in childbirth was very, very high. The rates of babies that died in childbirth was very, very high. So baruch Hashem, Shabbat opened up our eyes. They gave us the chokhmah sateva to figure out how to solve not all those problems, but rub of those problems. So of course you got to get to the hospital type. So to make the cheshbon in that, I'm not going to the hospital till the Shulchan Aruch tells me I'm allowed to go to. So the pesuk came right. That's nonsense. That's just misunderstanding what the din is. So the bottom line is, a woman is giving birth, so she's a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So the Gemara says one of the things that the woman needs is she needs oil, so a lubricant. They have to help her. I'm not an OBGYN, I forget what they need it for, but whatever they need it. So kach nemar halach, that says the mishnah, levim l'shemen. So the Gemara says, what if we realize that there's no eruv, so and there's no oil in the house, so we have to go scrounging around to go bring oil, and the doctors are saying this is necessary, so we got to go do it. So now the question becomes, okay, we're going to go bring oil, we're going to carry the oil. So the Gemara says, you should try to do a keliach hayad, the Gemara says. You should carry the oil in an abnormal fashion. How should you carry the oil? So the Gemara has a funny way of carrying the oil. The Gemara says you put it in your hair. You take some oil, pour it on your head. You have a good head of hair, good beard. Fill yourself up with oil. Carry the oil across the street. So technically that's not called carrying min hatorah, it's a keliach hayad. Then the Gemara says, and squeeze out your beard, squeeze out your hair. The Gemara's not commenting on the sanitary aspect of that. The Gemara was not mitzaches to that. The Gemara is just saying that would be a better way. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It's squeezing out your hair, squeezing your beard. So why is that less of an aveira than carrying? So the Gemara says, ain't schita b'seir. That's the context where the Gemara says that schita and seir is only derabana, not deraisa, and therefore it's less of an aveira. So okay, we're not learning schita right now, but it's clear for the Gemara's whole shach v'tari that we want to do a keliach hayad. the bend over backwards to do it in a mishuratic way. So comes the Ramban on that on in Sefer Teres Adam, writes his whole Sefer Halacha about the Chaylim and Mesim, etc. So Ramban writes, what do you see for that Gemara? That when you have a Chaylim Sheish B'Sekon on Shabbos, you have to try to do it Kaliachayad. The Gemara happened to be talking about a Yoledes, but the Yoledes is a regular Chaylim Sheish B'Sekon. So the Ramban says, the Gemara Sugya was Yoledes, but we can extrapolate from Yoledes to any other Chaylim. So again, the Ramban concedes that if it's dangerous to do it that way, what can you do? Let's say a guy's got to drive to the hospital. He's on the way. He's got to drive. He's driving a solar ambulance. He's driving an ambulance. I'm going to hold like the Ramban. I'm going to drive Kiliachayad. So some people write in certain books that, try to break Kiliachayad and try to hold the steering wheel. What are you, crazy? You're going to kill yourself and everybody else in the process. So just drive normally. So certain things you can't do Kiliachayad. So you can't drive Kiliachayad. You can't do a open heart surgery Kiliachayad. But there are certain things you can do Kiliachayad. You can make phone calls to the Achayad. You can maybe write certain information we spoke about that maybe has to be transmitted to the next person, the next shift guy. There are things that can be done Kali Achayad. So any Kali Achayad, says Ramban, that will not interfere with the care of the Chayla must be done. And that's the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So that seems to be a very Duchuyish type of philosophy. I'm not saying for certain, I'm not putting the Ramban in the camp, but that's a kind of a philosophy, kind of a mindset that we're trying to avoid this at all costs. And so the Rambam doesn't quote this. The Rambam in Perek Beis of Shabbos quotes the Dinim of Chayla, does not quote anything about doing things Kali Achayad, but the Gemara has it. But the Rambam quotes it by Yoledes. He leaves it out by Chayla and quotes it by Yoledes. What's the difference? So the Kesef Misha suggests that maybe the Rambam, unlike the Ramban, held that this is something that's unique to Yoledes. That in Ochinami, regular Chayla Yatacha don't have to be Mishana at all. This is unique to Yoledes. Mayai, Manishtan Yoledes. Kesef Misha says, it's true that Yoledes is a Chalash Yesh Mishakon. It is true. At the end of the day, we'll be mati deraisis for Yoledes. But, says the Kesef Mishnah, it's almost like a natural thing. When you hear a woman going into labor, you don't say, oh my goodness, gewalt, it's dangerous, gewalt. I mean, maybe you probably do that, but you don't go crazy. Well, the person's a chet. Kachi teva shal oilam. And the teva oilam is that rubin, taka, don't die during childbirth. But it's a chaylish yesh persekana, but since it's kachi teva shal oilam, it's not something out of the ordinary, it's something that we like, we want to have, we want women to give birth. So since it's Dava Teva Ha'ilam, Gifu Chazal were worried, they wanted to like to do it a little bit different. They didn't want to just be outright Bimater or Chol Shabbos Gomer if you don't have to. By Yoledes, there was a special Tachar Zacham to do it in a little bit of Meshuddik way. By a real Chayla? A real Chayla? It's a real Chayla. Chayla is a Chayla. To do it as quick as possible. You don't have to be Mishar or Kiliachayah. So it's a machoikis the Ram and the Ramban. By a regular Chayla, Yoledes, everybody agrees you have to do a Kiliachayah if you can. By a regular Chayla, machoikis the Ram and the Ramban. How do we paskin? So the Shulchanoch paskins like the Rambam, and the Ramah paskins like the Ramban. So the Ashkenazim, we try to follow the Shittas of the Ramban, we try to follow the Shittas of the Ramah. Now, again, it's not always. Very often it's going to be not practical. Very often doing a Shittas is going to take up a lot of time. So there also, you have to be very careful when you're paskin a Shayla and Huchas Pekuch Nefesh. Not all Pekuch Nefeshes are the same. The Pekuch Nefeshes were every second. The guy's having a heart attack. Every second counts to get him to the hospital. You got to get him into the right, proper care right away and get him to the hospital as quick as possible. That's every second counts. Other kinds of Pekuch Nefesh, let's say a person got a bad gash, a bad cut, so you got the bleeding under control. Okay, so the bleeding's under control. No, he's not going to die from hemorrhaging right now. Now there are chashashas of infection setting in, so we may have to get this to the doctor, we may have to get this stitched. That may have to happen, we have to get to the hospital. But the difference of getting a person who's no longer actively bleeding to the hospital in terms of infection is not going to kick in 31 minutes, it counts just to 30 minutes. There's not going to be any size difference in the world. But in terms of a potential heart attack, the difference between 31 minutes and 30 minutes, or the difference between 4 minutes and 3 minutes, could make a difference of life and death. So you have to, and if you don't know enough to make that decision, then everything has to err on the side of caution. Everything is a suffix. But if there's somebody who knows a little bit of what's going on, they will be able to instruct you and tell you, this is a kind of a pikuach nefesh that every second counts, and don't even think about shinuim, just get out of here as fast as possible. Whereas if it's a kind of pikuach nefesh, that not every second counts, so then you have a little bit of time to play with. The Rishonim have a discussion about when you have a situation of a pikuach nefesh, should you or should you not do it Ayidei Goyim? So some were very weary about doing it Ayidei Goyim because they were afraid the Goyim aren't going to do such a good job. What if it's not such a good job? It's not a question of a job. It's a question of driving the car. So Baruch Hashem, the Uber drivers who are Goyim are very qualified. They could be the better drivers than you are. So L'chora, if you have the opportunity to get to the hospital, you have to get to the hospital. So what do you have to drive yourself for? Do what I think, what the guy drive you. I have to call the Uber driver. The call, whatever malachas are involved in the call of the Uber driver are probably significantly less than the driving of the car. We spoke about this back in our days. What's involved in calling an Uber? Like a phone calls, some electric currents here and there, different. I'm not minimizing phone calls. I'm not making light of phone calls on Shabbos, but it's a significantly less of a problem than mamish driving a car. Driving a car is a malacha gemura v'avara l'chol adei. It's pelishim safek. Every pedal on the gas, every step on the pedal is 5,000 different disaster. Driving the car, if you want to really, really get a lot of chol Shabbos in, that's the way to go. Drive the car. So we don't want to drive cars on Shabbos. So people sometimes have this mistaken mindset. You're allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. I usually tell people, Memanashach, why are you driving to the hospital on Shabbos for exactly? If this is the kind of a pikuch nefesh that's mamish, every second counts, you shouldn't be driving. You should be calling an ambulance. That's all. Whoever you're calling, you should be calling, and they should be taking you to the hospital on Shabbos. If it's a kind of a pikuch nefesh that, my wife's in early labor and I got to get to the hospital in the next 6 hours, you have to get there. Uber driver, you can drive an Uber. Uber can take it just as well. So call and forget when you call the Uber. Call a Kli Achayad. Press a little bit, plashka around a little bit. You have all the time in the world. Assume you have all the time in the world. So to have a scenario where you, as a private citizen from Jew, is driving to the hospital on Shabbos is almost not shayach. It's a manushach. Except it was shayach. It was shayach during COVID. It was shayach because in COVID, all of a sudden we had a new scenario. The new scenario was that we have to get the person to the hospital on Shabbos. Again, let's assuming now. We're not calling the ambulance. If we're calling the ambulance, we're getting an ambulance to come. But believe it or not, sometimes there were emergencies during COVID that weren't COVID. They're regular emergencies. They're regular scenarios that had to be taken care of. So a person has to get to that. A woman's having a baby. She had babies during COVID also. So I got to get my wife to the hospital and during COVID. So my initial reaction would be, no problem, call an Uber driver. Call an Uber driver. And I'm talking about the early, early days of COVID. To get into a car with an Uber driver is pikuach nefesh. Chashash pikuach nefesh. So he's carrying. I'm carrying. I want to expose my wife, myself, my baby to someone who may be a cat. So the poskim said at the time, when the option of going to an Uber was just pushing out a safe option, so now waste braver. So what am I going to do? So I have to drive myself to the hospital. So that was a very, very unique window of time when the psach was given that lays bravery, you have to drive yourself to the hospital. But on the Shalom Kitikunam, hopefully things are not that degree of chashash. So then Lefidia's night, we have to go back to the old psach. The old psach was, you got to try to minimize. When able to minimize, you have to try to minimize. So we try to minimize things, if we can, we try to minimize things to Degoyim, if we can. Again, these are all assuming that doing these kinds of things are not going to impact negatively on the Chola, or let's say the case of driving, to drive Kali Achayad, that's going to create new Sakonis to Fashasis. So that's, of course, obviously something which is not going to be Shayach. When we speak about doing Tzarchi Achayla for Chodesh Yesh Pisakonah, we have to fine-tune a little bit what exactly is called Tzarchi Achayla. Again, a person's having a heart attack, gotta get him to the hospital, get the doctors to intervene, and whatever they do for heart attack or victims, that's pikuach nefesh mamish. Woman's gotta get to the hospital, chalila, she needs a cesarean section, emergency C-section, that's tzarchi achayla, what are you gonna do? But what if you have a situation, a person is in the hospital, and there are certain things that we would like to do. Can we say that the tzarchi achayla mamish, mamish, mamish? So we spoke a little bit about this by stitches, right? By the Magid Mishnah, we spoke about tzarchi achayla, not Ritzonus Achola, not Tzorchi Achola, Tzorchi Bluch Nefesh. Did we talk about this earlier? Okay, we'll talk about this next week. So even if we have a Chodesh Yesh Pesukana, and we got him in the hospital already, and now we're just trying to figure out what exactly is called Tzorchi Achola. At what point do we say this kind of a procedure can wait till after Shabbos? Assuming that to be a data to make it wait till after Shabbos. Is there a point where we say that Tzorchi Achola mean Ad Kan V'lo Yosef? So hopefully that's your next week. We'll try to fine-tune this a little bit.